Bird or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you today. The telephone lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's a toll-free number. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673, and you can get on the air here this afternoon with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And certainly thinking today about the anniversary of Roe versus Wade and the sanctity of life. And we'll be touching on some of those things perhaps here as well in the broadcast. But let's go ahead and open with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. I just pray that you would just bless the program. Use the things that we talk about today for your glory. Help us to be a blessing to somebody. And we just pray that we could just, through your word, make sense of the world around us, Lord, and just point people to Christ as their Savior. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to the program. And again, as I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis. I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Certainly invite you to visit us if you're looking for a church home. The information on the church, we'll give that out at the end of the program. But we're right midway between Akron and Cleveland, right off from Interstate 77, right off from the Ohio Turnpike. And right there we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, right there in northern Summit County, Richfield, Ohio. And we'd love to have you visit us if you're looking for a church home, if you're looking for a place where you can ask questions about the Bible. Why don't you come out and visit us tonight? We do a Friday night Bible study, and it's probably unlike a lot of Bible studies that you've been to. It's an opportunity for you to ask questions rather than me to say, well, tonight we're going to study. It's a chance for you to ask questions, and then collectively together we look into the Word of God to see what the Bible has to say. And so you can give us a call, though, right now if you've got a question about the Bible, 888-677-9673, and we'll get to your question there. I wanted to start out here with a reading from Psalm 139. The Bible says here in, let's jump in down at verse number 13, where it says, "Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." Now, this is interesting. If you've studied biology, you read this, and you cannot help but to understand and see the biological truth that's contained in this passage. Now, you've probably heard it said, and I've said it before myself, the Bible is not primarily a science textbook, but it's scientifically accurate. And an amazing thing takes place at the moment of conception. You receive half of your DNA, 23 segments from your mother, and half of your DNA, another 23 from your father, and that provides the unique information that is going to determine what you're going to look like. It'll affect what color hair, well, it'll determine what color hair you have. It'll determine an upward limit on how tall you can be, your maximum potential for growth, whether you're going to tend to be a stocky person or a slender person. It's going to affect much of your personality. It's going to determine whether or not you can turn your tongue over or roll it in a tube or not, whether your earlobes hang free or whether they don't. It's whether your eyebrows grow together or they don't. Any number of things can affect. It's going to determine your eye color. It's going to affect your shoe size and all kinds of things about you. And it's all written in this absolutely incredible molecule that we call DNA. And DNA is deoxyribonucleic acid. And this is one of the most amazing information storage devices that has ever been seen. Now, first off, you have to understand how small DNA is. You have 46 segments to your DNA. Like I said, half comes from your mother, half comes from your father. And if you took one cell, just any cell out of your body, take one of your skin cells, for instance, people scrape their knuckles on things or things like that. You take one of those little skin cells, just one cell so small you can't even see it. If you took the DNA out of the nucleus of that one skin cell or any other cell of your body and you stretched it out, it would stretch out about 7 feet long. Now, it would be very thin, obviously, and you would not be able to see all the details of it, but just that one DNA molecule from one of your cells would stretch out about 7 feet long. Now, this DNA here has enough information in it, it's calculated, that could fill a library of about 4,000 books. That's how much information is compacted and coded into that one DNA molecule. And that's in each and every one of your cells. If you took every bit of DNA in your body and you placed them end to end, the amount of DNA in the average human being would stretch from here to the moon more than 500,000 times. The books that you would write from that, you could fill in the Grand Canyon. Now that's over 100 times. That's quite a lot of information. And yet, if you took all the DNA that you had, not all the DNA that you have, but one set of DNA that from each person that's ever lived, and you put all that DNA and piled it into one pile, the total piled, all those billions of people, each contributing one cell's worth of DNA, that amount of DNA would weigh less than an aspirin tablet. Now, that's absolutely incredible when you think about that. And yet, this DNA that is the basis for our life, that gives all of this information that we have within us, this DNA is, I believe, what's here in Psalm 139, because as he says there in Psalm 139, verse 15, he says, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in lowest parts of the earth," and that's a reference to the womb. He says, "Thine eyes did see my substance," and notice what he says here in verse 16, "yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." That's talking about the moment of conception, the half of your DNA molecule comes from your father, half of your DNA molecule comes from your mother, and it forms a unique DNA molecule. And the number of possible combinations there is just absolutely mind-boggling as to what you could get there from all the numbers of possible opportunities for it to combine together. There's actually more combinations possible, I think, than the number they calculate, the number of electrons or something like that in the universe. But again, that gets a little away from the point. The point being that there's a unique combination of DNA that we find at that moment that's brought together. And I believe that God oversees that because you are a unique creation of God. And You have not developed anything at this stage in your life at the moment of conception. There's a lot of people out there who would say that that new, unique human life could be destroyed. They'll say it's not really human. It's not really living. Well, here's my problem with that. Having studied biology and being married to a nurse and who's studied, you know, biology, anatomy, and physiology and all of that, anybody that studied biology, anybody that studied anatomy and physiology knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that that fertilized cell egg is a living organism. It's alive. It's not dead. If think about this logically and talk about this in light of abortion and the falsely presumed right to an abortion that the Supreme Court pulled out of thin air. The idea is if there was no life in that fertilized egg, if it was not a living organism, what would you need an abortion for? It obviously, it wouldn't grow, it wouldn't divide, it wouldn't turn into anything because it's dead. Dead things don't do that. So the very argument that they have to have a right to abortion tells you logically that something's alive. And certainly that fertilized egg is alive. Now, here's another thing that medically, biologically, it's not an assumption. It's not an opinion. It's a biological fact. That organism is genetically distinct from the mother that's carrying it and the father that contributed some of his genes to that organism. That organism is genetically unique from mother or father. So it's alive and it's unique. Now, let's follow this a little bit further. It's obviously human. You say, oh, no, it's not human until it's born. Well, okay, so if you did a C-section before the baby came through the birth canal, that baby's not a human being until you remove it from the mother? Oh, that's ridiculous. Children are born premature all the time, and we have, through medical technology, excelled at being able to keep these infants alive and allow them to grow. Remember a young girl that was born when we were in the Samoan Islands, my wife and I as missionaries. She was a premature baby, and they weren't sure how she would do. And I'll tell you what, by the time we left Samoa, you'd never know that she was premature. She was, I think, getting bigger than her older sister, and she was certainly had a lot more energy than her older brother and older sister put together. But she was not less than human when she was born and then suddenly magically became human. Now, let me put it this way. If you took that fertilized cell, this is at the very moment before it begins to divide and begins to differentiate. When, as the Bible says, in the book, all the members were written, that's the arms, the legs, the parts of the body, which in contains with fashion, when as yet there were none of them. There was none of them. This is before any of that began to take place. If you analyzed the DNA from that fertilized egg, if you took that and you didn't know where it came from and you studied it, you gave it to somebody and said, this DNA, where did it come from? Identify what it came from. And anybody studying it would say, well, obviously it's human DNA. So let's follow this through logically now. It's alive. It's unique genetically. And it's human. What does that tell you? It's a living human being. Now, how can you get around that? Well, you got to go through mental gymnastics and all sorts of things to deny the fact that it's human, to deny the fact that it's alive, and to deny the fact that it's a unique genetic organism from either father or mother. It's not a little blob of tissue. It's not like the mother had an ulcer or a tumor that suddenly grew. It's not a bit of foreign matter injected into the mother. It's a unique, living human being. So now the whole question of abortion becomes not whether or not it's human, not whether or not it's alive, and not whether or not it's distinct from the mother and father. The question is whether or not it's permissible to end the life of that unique living human being. And that's really what the whole abortion question revolves around. It's ending the life of a unique human being. Now, the state of Ohio put to death a murderer yesterday. And I don't know where your position is on capital punishment, but I do think it's ironic that many of the people who are most against ending the life of somebody who ended somebody else's life are adamantly for ending the life of an unborn human being. Isn't that kind of ironic? The unborn human being that's hurt nobody, they think should be allowed to be have its life taken, but adult human being that has ended a life, killed and hurt one or more people, well, that person's life should not be ended. A logical disconnect there, mind-boggling. But getting back to this, we have determined as a society that capital punishment is legal, and we exercise that right yesterday in the state of Ohio when we ended the life as a state of a human being that had ended the life of another human being. Now, that whole position of capital punishment is biblical. I mean, it goes back to the Bible, and we can see that in the Bible when Noah and his family got off from the ark in the book of Genesis and chapter number 9. The Bible says this. It says in verse 5, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man." Verse 6, he says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." And so God had decreed that if somebody murders somebody, that his life should be forfeit. Now, that's the biblical basis for capital punishment, and that's echoed throughout the Bible. It's found in the New Testament, and it made its way into our law, and it's been argued pro and con for years and years and years. But the fact of the matter is, this is what God said, and what God said there is just as valid as what God said in Psalm 139, when he talked about being curiously made and the unborn child being a living human being. Now, we can talk about this some more, but I want to give out that phone number. We still got a few minutes in the program here. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can always give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. But I wanted to talk about that today in light of the talk about abortion and the March for Life in Washington coming up this weekend, and also Public Square tomorrow, I believe, at noon. We need to make a decision in our mind. Do we believe the Bible or not? There are provisions in the Bible for taking the life of another human being. And certainly capital punishment is one of them. Also, the Bible says in Exodus, I believe it's in Exodus chapter 20, 22, where it talks about if a thief be found breaking in and he's struck and he dies, that no blood is to be shed for him because the person in the home was defending his home. And then, of course, there's the case for the soldier and, by extension, the police officer. In many cases, they were one and the same in the Bible settings, but there was allowed for them. In Romans, it talks about the minister or the government official, and that would apply to the soldier and the police officer, bearing not the sword in vain. And certainly that sword is a lethal weapon. It was not used just to smack somebody on the wrist with. It was used to take a life. And so they were allowed to do that under the right circumstances. And certainly vigilantism and things like that would be banned and against God's word. Certainly going into an abortion clinic as a private individual and shooting the person performing the abortions, that would be against God's law as well. But If the country was to enact a more biblical position, you would see that a lot of people get out of the abortion business pretty fast because they're ending a human life, and the Bible gives us that, that the punishment for taking somebody's human life outside of defense of your home, or in the case of the soldier or the police officer, in defense of the community and the country and all, there's capital punishment as a very real thing waiting for the person that just wantonly takes a human life. Now, somebody who's a murderer, that's what the Bible says should happen. And so we need to understand that. That's what God thinks about this. And the Bible, Jesus talked about the kingdom of God being, talking about the children, such as the kingdom of God. And you wonder sometimes when people get to heaven, these babies that have been aborted and things like that, could that have something to do with what Jesus was saying? Well, again, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. We got just a couple minutes left on the program here today, and I just wanted to put that out there for you to think about it. It's not a question, really, as to whether or not it's a unique living human being. The unborn child from the moment of conception on is exactly that. It's a unique living human being. It's nothing else. It's not a tumor. It's not a blob of tissue. It's not a puppy or something like that. It's a unique living human being. And you have to make the decision in your mind when you're faced with thinking about abortion. Am I justified in ending the life of a unique living human being simply for my own personal convenience? And that's really what a lot of abortion becomes, personal convenience. It becomes birth control after the fact. And in fact, they have birth control after the fact, RU-480 and all of that. Well, I just want you to think about that. Study the scriptures. And I concentrated on Psalm 139 today because there is a lot of truth in that psalm, and a lot of true things that we need to understand. Well, you're listening to Late Night or to Live with Pastor Al. We have a late night program Sunday nights from 11 to midnight as well. And we got, about a couple minutes left on the program, 3 minutes left on the program. We've got a caller calling in, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
Hello.
Hi, good evening, or afternoon.
How are you?
Doing well.
Question for you, is there anywhere in the Bible that where it would say that Sunday worship is mark of the beast and that Sabbath should be kept?
Well, Sabbath keeping, and we have a very short time, obviously, because there's a couple minutes left in the program. The Seventh-day Adventists are one of the big proponents that the Sunday Sabbath or the Sunday worship is the mark of the beast. The Bible never says that. The Bible very clearly tells us that the mark of the beast is something that's instituted during the tribulation period. And to receive the mark of the beast, you have to bow down and worship the Antichrist, the beast, as God. And you receive a mark on your forehead or on the back of your right hand, and that mark is going to be based on the number 666. Having a service on a Sunday, worshiping God on a Sunday, you're not bowing down to the beast, and it's certainly not during the tribulation, and you're not receiving a tattoo or a mark or some kind on your forehead or the back of your right hand. And the Bible also tells us that I'm just going to this mark portion because there are if you go through the Bible, you'll find that people worshipped Christ worshipped on Sundays on the first day of the week in the Bible. Paul had a preached to people on the first day of the week, and the disciples collected tithes and offerings in some of the churches on the first day of the week. Don't have time to get into that right now, but very clearly Revelation chapter 13. Gives us a description of the mark of the beast at the end of the chapter. And then in chapter 14, it tells us that those who receive that mark are going to be condemned to the lake of fire for all eternity. And the reason is because they have worshiped the beast as God, basically. And, you know, going to church on Sunday, our church, we have Sunday services. We're going to have a service tonight, and we're going to have a service Wednesday. You know, we have services different days of the week. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thanks for the call. God bless.
Thank you.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views